This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. With just over 50 days until Election Day, candidates keeping the focus on battleground states. Kamala Harris in Pennsylvania today. Former President Trump is in California and Nevada. Trump facing criticism from members of his own party over the presence of a social media influencer on the campaign trail. Here's ABC's Mary Bruce.
Now we are hearing from some Republicans who are voicing concerns that Donald Trump is growing increasingly close to this far-right activist, Laura Loomer, someone who has espoused conspiracy theories. She has used racist rhetoric in describing Kamala Harris, and now some of former President Trump's closest allies in the party are urging him to distance himself from her.
On New York's Long Island today, singer and performer Justin Timberlake appearing in court, expected to plead guilty to misdemeanor impaired driving charge, part of a deal to resolve a DWI charge in Sag Harbor. He'll also pay a fine. Remnants of Francine, meantime, on the move, bringing rain to parts of the southeast today. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission wants state lawmakers to create a new office on election transparency. Administrator Megan Wolf says public demand for transparency is growing. If approved, the office would operate inside the WEC and handle audits and voter accessibility. School districts around Wisconsin will hold nearly three times as many referenda this year compared to last year. There'll be 120 of them on November 5th. Governor Evers says the trend bothers him.
What I'm concerned about, frankly, is when I hear when school districts have to go to referendum just for basics, that's an indication to me that the state isn't doing enough.
State funding has remained relatively stable in recent years, but inflation is forcing school districts to ask voters for more. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The La Crosse City Council approved $270,000 in expenses out of the city's contingency fund to pay for cleaning up the marsh area and to provide security for parks and city ramps through the end of the year. The city's parks department cleaned up 44 tons of garbage last month that was left over by homeless encampments in the marsh area. However, the cost of cleanup was not in the budget. The city passed the request for $75,000 for removing garbage unanimously. The vote for nearly $200,000 for security passed 9-3. La Crosse County Assistant District Attorney Andrew Burdick will be taking over as Crawford County's DA. Governor Tony Evers announced Thursday that Burdick will serve out the rest of former DA Lucas Steiner's term, which is up in January. Steiner was appointed to the Crawford County Circuit Court. Burdick was an assistant DA in La Crosse County for a little over a year. Before coming to La Crosse, Burdick worked as a criminal defense lawyer, mostly in Crawford and Grant counties, according to a release. For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
History is made for the Brewers' youngest player. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jackson Churio became the first 20-year-old to hit 20 home runs and steal 20 bases in a season during Milwaukee's 3-0 win over San Francisco Thursday night. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games with 16 games to play. The Brewers are in Arizona this weekend for a 3-game series beginning tonight. The Green Bay Packers take on Indianapolis this Sunday, and they'll be starting Malik Willis at quarterback with Jordan Love out of action with an MCL sprain. Head coach Matt LaFleur said that Love is working towards returning soon.
He's going to do everything he can to be out there, and we'll give him the week.
LaFleur added that Love has been at practice helping out this week.
Yeah, he's been out there at practice and been engaged, knows every play call, is always coaching up Malik, coaching up Sean, is doing a good job with it.
Both the Packers and Colts are looking for their first win. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny with highs in the mid-80s. Showers and storms are possible tonight. We'll see a low around 63. For Saturday, slight chance of a storm, otherwise mostly cloudy, 82. Saturday night, clouds, 63. Chance of a storm Sunday, 85.
Right now, 71 degrees. Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska drops by to give us a preview of this weekend's Packer game. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc.'s Terry Barr joins the show with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Eagle, 1490 AM.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Friday, September 13th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, 6 past the hour of 12 noon, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Welcome in, everyone, on an overcast day. A little bit of that smoke still coming in from the west, from some of those wildfires out west, but also the remnants of that hurricane down in the Gulf of Mexico moving its way pretty much straight up the Mississippi River. So people in southwest Wisconsin, maybe people listening on WRCE in Richland Center, also La Crosse over there, and in the Eau Claire area, Amory, people in that part of the state, the western side of the state, may see some scattered showers, perhaps a thunderstorm kind of between La Crosse and Eau Claire up there later on in tonight. The rest of the state, though, the way the jet stream is tracking, should be pretty darn nice. Of course, tomorrow here in Madtown, the big game, Wisconsin versus Alabama. That's the way that the great Keith Jackson from ABC used to pronounce it, Alabama. Alabama kicks off a big, it's that big Fox Noon thing. They're having a nooner down at Camp Randall tomorrow on Fox Sports. So it's on Fox. Thank God, not the Peacock. It's on Fox at 11 a.m. tomorrow, kickoff time. You can hear it also with Matt LaPay and Mark Tauscher on the Civic Media Radio Network in select stations that carry Badger football. Amongst them, WRCE in Richland Center. So there you go. If you can't watch on television on Fox, just dial up the Civic Media app, go to WRCE in Richland Center, click on that, and you can listen to the game right here for free on the Civic Media app. It's a big game. We're going to talk about it a little bit later on in the show, going to break it down. Now, last year, remember, I bought into the hype on the Badger football team. I bought into the hype. I predicted an undefeated season, and I got my prediction posterior handed to me. And so I'm trying to be more reasonable this year. Not that if you're watching on the live stream, I'm wearing my Wisconsin Badger polo shirt today. But I'm trying to keep it realistic. I just don't see, based on what I've seen so far, I've been at both games so far. No, actually, it's just the second one, sorry. I watched the first one on TV, and I was at the second one. Based on what I've seen, I'm not optimistic against Alabama tomorrow, but I hope I'm wrong. Brady Ewing, who knows a heck of a lot more about football, he's a former Badger, he predicted that Alabama would win. And our guest picker in week one, Jonathan Klein, also took Wisconsin. So do Brady and Jonathan know more than Todd about football? Probably, but we'll find out come Monday. Going to be a great game, though. Great weather. I mean, how about this fall weather, folks? Leaves, some of them are just starting to turn, maybe up north a little more so. But this kind of temperate weather, it's fantastic. Really enjoying it. Speaking of that, I was down last night on State Street for a great night market. Our morning team here in Madison, John and Gordy, you can listen to them every morning, 6 until 8. They were hanging out. Sam Davison, great producer over there. Catherine Lake, the station manager. A good time. Luis, our sales guy. A good time was had by all. Met a lot of great folks. So thanks for all those that came out to the night market. I think Jane Matinere and Matinere on Air was talking before us. She's going to be at the Waukesha Farmers Market tomorrow morning. So we're everywhere. You understand? We're out in the community, us civic media folk, and we're always happy to do it. Happy to meet you as well. We have later on in the show another edition of What's Worse. Your chance to call in and be heard. No prizes, for just your chance to be heard. You understand? And also another note off community calendar here today. We've been talking about it all week. We are in Waukesha on Wednesday. Today is the premiere, the statewide premiere, the opening night, we'll call it. The opening night of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers in select Marcus theaters across the state. Go to marcustheater.com or justabitoutsidethemovie.com to find tickets and showtimes and theaters in your community, Marcus Theaters, and make sure you get to a Marcus Theater, because right now there are no actual plans to have it streaming. So get to your Marcus Theater. Timely indeed. We covered what's worse. That's going on a little bit in an hour or two as well. Lots going on in the news. I want to talk about a little bit about what's going on in terms of one of the headlines that was overlooked. All right. Overlooked headline, as it turned out. One of the things that Donald Trump said that people, I don't know why, I mean, we said it on our post-debate coverage on Tuesday. I said it. It was the point when Trump mentioned and accused the sitting vice president of, quote-unquote, putting out sexually to get where she's at. I found it particularly disgusting. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little later. But right now, an unexpected surprise, wonderful guest on the phone joining us from beautiful Sauk County. I've spent a lot of time in Sauk County, right next to the home county of Richland County. A wonderful journalist, wonderful newspaper person for a long time, Jeff Searing, calling from beautiful Sauk County. Jeff, thanks for calling in today. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you, but it's not Jeff Searing.
Oh, I thought it was Jeff Searing. I apologize. Sorry. No, my bad. Jeff, what do you got for us?
Okay, this is just to call you. You're always a proponent of good causes like Richland Campus, and mm-hmm. This is about the Sauk County Healthcare Center. The very conservative Sauk County Board they want to sell the Sauk County Health Care Center. Mm-hmm. Originally, it was built for $15 million. They're selling it for $5 million. And it's now a five-star facility. They're selling it to a company called Aria, Araria. They're a one-star or possibly a two-star. You know, none of their facilities are above a two-star. Yeah. And so the people of Sauk County are very upset about this, and the people on the board are not paying any attention to them.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Jeff. The reason I said Jeff Searing is because I know Jeff Searing has kind of been all over this issue up there, and we had kind of talked about him calling in. So I thought, well, maybe he just surprised us, but we're happy to have you here as well, Jeff. And for people that don't know, the kind of the 30,000-foot level here, and this is, and we'll go into it in more detail in another show, but I'm glad you brought it up, Jeff, because this is an issue that's facing people throughout the entire state, where you have local nursing homes that are run by county governments and they're being sold by to private entities. They're being privatized, and the quality of care is absolutely going down.
I see you're very well apprised of the situation. This is virtually, like I said, virtually everybody I've talked to thinks this is a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And the county government says it's not about the money, because in 3 years they'll be they'll have the building paid off, or and they'll become able to become solvent. They said it was a policy decision. Mm-hmm. And so because it's a policy decision, there's really, and they just had a meeting the other night. And a vote, when they took the vote, they had many people were there voicing their opposition to this. And then they went behind closed doors and had the representatives from ARIA behind closed doors. And after the representatives got done through talking to these people, they had the vote, and they voted against, they voted for selling the building. And so, this is all done in secrecy. Wow. None of this is ever open to the public.
Wow. That's amazing and amazingly sad. So you're telling me it's a done deal at this point, pretty much?
Well, there is some legal opposition to it. The people of the Friends of Sauk County Healthcare Center, they have hired an attorney, and they're trying to fight this thing. Because it is such a bad deal all the way around. But the county board is virtually ignoring, the people of the law and everything else that's going on here. So it's
I know something about the issue, particularly in Sauk County, but also the larger issue that other folks across the state where these nursing homes, these county nursing homes, they're a huge drain. They're an expense to a county. And many counties, particularly in more rural areas of the state, are saying, we just can't afford this. And so they're selling this off. But to your point, Jeff, I was on Richland County or Richland Center City Council, and I spent a lot of time in state and federal government. Anytime elected officials tell you it's not about the money, guess what? It's about the money. I mean, that's just, okay. More often, 9.5 times out of 10, it's about the money. As Jack O'Neill, my old professor at UW Platteville, used to say, it all comes down to the dollar sign. And you pointed out very well that you have a facility who has had a high rating under county ownership being sold to a company with low ratings. And most of these private facilities are low rated. And they are not taking care of our elderly. And if anything burns my butt more, it's when we are not respecting our elders, our senior citizens, our retired veterans who deserve quality care.
All the people that are currently, almost everybody that's in there, I think except for three, are all from Sauk County. Mm. So they're fulfilling their obligation to the people of Sauk County.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other things going on that when they get so bad, when the facility becomes so bad, they become a revolving door because nobody wants to live there.
Right.
They have to go there temporarily, and then they seek another place. And there's already a shortage, so some people are just forced to live under these awful conditions.
Jeff, I can't thank you enough for calling in and bringing this to our attention. Like I said, I've heard about it, and I've been meaning to reach out, but now you've lit a fire under me. So we will follow up on this. Thank you very much, Jeff. If you have instances around the state where this is happening to you, give us a call, 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Come back on a Friday, the 13th edition of the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Welcome back to the Talent Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour, 12 noon. What did you dial up?
The theme from Friday the 13th.
Oh, my God.
I figured we should play it at least once, even if it has nothing to do with we're talking about.
I'm trying to think if I've ever seen that entire movie.
I haven't.
See, that is one genre of film that I just have no desire for, horror.
I didn't used to, and then I saw some that were more thriller than horror, like Jordan Peele's Get Out.
Oh, yeah,
and that movie, it gripped me, and it was not disgusting. It's not gory. Yeah. It's just tense.
Yeah.
And since then, I've watched a ton of horror movies.
Really? Yeah. I don't know why. I can't. Like I can. I used to be a manager for football and baseball. I can handle compound fractures and live injuries and help people. But to watch that on film, ugh. I think it's not my thing.
I like it when it's practical effects, because usually the old movies just look kind of goofy.
Right,
it doesn't look real.
Right.
Really?
Yeah,
and
that's
so
true.
At least that's my opinion.
Well, it is Friday the 13th, by the way. And hopefully your day is lucky. The Friday the 13th has always been a good number. Let's go to the street cam, Mr. Zommer. So let's check out on this Friday the 13th what's happening on downtown Madison for those watching on the stream. And there you go. So lovely people crossing the street. Look at that in the if you're watching on, is Facebook working yet or is it still down?
It looks like it's working today.
Oh, all right. So if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatnot, you can see some of the leaves on State Street there in the fairway have been they're turning yellow at the very top, starting to get very fall-like, festive here in downtown Madison. But people wearing shorts because my gosh, it's going to be in the 80s today here in September. But it's a lovely day to be walking downtown State Street, wherever you are as well. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Our ongoing contributor and friend, Jeff Perry is on the phone lines. Jeffrey, always a pleasure. We just saw you a couple days ago down in Waukesha. Today is the big day for the opening of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers. I'm pumped for people to watch it like we did on Wednesday.
Oh, man, me too. What an incredible piece of work that film was. And the thing I keep telling people is it took me back. I felt like I was 12 years old again. I felt right. Like with the clips and then the players talking about the games and things, mm-hmm. it just brought back memories, and it just made me feel really good. There's some parts in it that might make you tear up, but overall the experience is going to be just an overwhelmingly positive one. So if people get the chance to go see it, please go see it. It really is a fine piece of work.
It is, and right now, at least for now, only in theaters at Marcus Theaters across the state. So check that out. And here's what I said this morning when I sent out a tweet about it. That in a world that's so divided right now, or at least a country that's divided, this movie for 2 hours makes you remember what, when you have friends and family around you, where you could feel a sense of family, you could feel a sense of warmth, and you could feel a sense of when people don't care who gets the credit and focus on something larger than themselves, you can really achieve great things.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of those, like you said, one of those things that makes Wisconsin great. Mm-hmm. And one of those things that brings people together. And I mean, who isn't a Brewers fan? Well,
there's some, I'm sure they're taking something for it.
More, as you have pointed out, and as the producers of the film pointed out to us Wednesday, it's really a love story.
Yes.
Between the team and the state of Wisconsin and the city of Milwaukee. And that angle is really played well in the film. And I think it's just a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I do too. I could not agree more. Is that why you're calling in, or do you have something else for us today?
I wanted to, in regards to Friday the 13th,
yes.
Something very odd happened today here at the house.
Really?
And so I wanted to run this by you and see if you or maybe any of your listeners have ever heard of this before. And I'm not kidding on this.
You're actually being serious.
I'm actually being serious. Mm. One of our lilac trees is blooming now in September.
You know.
So is this a sign of the apocalypse, or what is going on here?
Let me tell you, and I'm so glad you brought this up, because what was it, 2 weeks ago or so? I was down in beautiful Monroe, Wisconsin, seeing our mutual friend Rob Wheat, because he's helping me find locations. We're going to be next week back in Monroe for Cheese Days on Thursday and Friday. And then I went and saw my friends Kurt and Florcy in Monroe. And then I left. And there's a wonderful, I believe it's a county, Green County Park. You can walk your dog or just take a hike or a run. And it's this beautiful park. I wish I could remember the name of it. And I thought, you know, it's a beautiful day. I need some exercise. I'm going to stop and just take a loop around here. And I was walking down the hill from the ridge in this park in Green County. And I'm like, what is that flower in that bush? And I walked over, Jeffrey, and it was a lilac bush. And it was like a quarter flowered. I'm like, wait a minute. What's going on? Is this just, and now you have found yet another lilac bush flowering in September. What's going on?
So it's not just ours.
No.
That's interesting.
No, I haven't told this to anybody because I thought, well, maybe I'm just loopy. I don't know. Maybe, and because I literally walked over and smelled it, because I'm like, did somebody just like tape this on here as a joke? No, it was real. It was real.
Wow. Well, maybe some listeners out there can tell us what's going on. Maybe you have a botanist or something.
A botanist, a horticulturist, a plant guy, a plant gal. I don't know. Yeah, if anybody knows why select lilac bushes, lilac trees are blooming in September, let us know.
I imagine it's just something with climate change.
maybe they're just late bloomers. I don't know.
Well, we've had these lilac trees for 24 years,
yeah.
And this has never happened.
Really? The first time? Well,
yeah.
As Johnny Carson once said, that's weird and wacky stuff.
Crazy. Weird, wild stuff. Doc is here? Doc is not here.
Well, I don't know. I don't know why a lilac bush blooms in September. I'd never seen it until last week or 2 weeks ago, and now you tell me you've seen it today.
Yeah.
On Friday the 13th, no less.
Have
you got any garlic?
Maybe go get some.
I think so.
Don't walk under any ladders as on your way.
Well,
to get
here's
that
the question: Are you Jeff? Are you superstitious?
Oh, I absolutely not. No,
really,
not at all. Nope.
I'm kind
of
like,
which is weird because of my baseball connection. Because baseball is the most superstitious of all sports. But no, I'm not.
Exactly. I'm kind of like my grandma Alba. She'd say, "I'm not superstitious, but why take any chances?" So like she would not, I mean, we'd be driving and a black cat would go, oh my land, it's a black cat, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, throwing salt over the shoulder if it spilled, or hanging a horseshoe so the luck doesn't run out, all that kind of stuff. And she was a religious woman, but she also didn't want to take any chances on superstition. So if anybody else...
Probably smarter than me, I'm guessing.
Well, and me too, as far as that goes. But yeah, I mean, if people have other superstitions or your feelings on Friday the 13th, give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Jeff, thanks for calling in. Happy Friday the 13th.
Go see the movie, folks.
Go see Just a Bit Outside the Movie, back after this on Civic Media's Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Why settle for a typical classroom pet when you can adopt a cow for free? I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you midday on a Friday. You can say goodbye to the classroom guinea pig and say hello to a 100-pound dairy calf through the Adopt-A-Cow program. Erica Shade is the community and schools manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. She says this Adopt-A-Cow program is perfect for any school, whether it's rural or urban.
We have about a third of the program is urban kids. So kids who have never probably even experienced the farm are participating, and the teacher feedback is wonderful that the kids are engaged, that they love to get their little cow updates. And our farmers go all out where they're even dressing the calves up for all the holidays. And we see the fun feedback with that, too, that the kids love that, the teachers love it. And the teachers also love that there's lessons connected to this. So it's not just a picture with a cow update. It's also a cow picture and then a lesson about that dairy farm.
For teachers and parents who think this would be a good opportunity for your students, the deadline to apply is on Sunday. You can apply for the Adopt-A-Cow program at discoverdairy.com. That's discoverdairy.com. We'll take a look at our midday commodity prices next.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Heading into the weekend, most of our commodity prices are seeing some strength. From Chicago, December corn is trading up a nickel and a half at 4.11 and a half. The only thing seeing weaker prices today is November soybeans, down 0.75 cents at $10.10 a bushel. Cash wheat is up 16.5 cents at $5.95 a bushel. The Class 3 October milk contract is up 11 cents at $23.93 a hundredweight. November milk trading up 13 cents at $23.31 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny with highs in the mid-80s. Showers and storms are possible tonight. We'll see a low around 63. For Saturday, slight chance of a storm, otherwise mostly cloudy, 82. Saturday night, clouds, 63. Chance of a storm Sunday, 85.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Some big ideas being shared at the Cap Times Idea Fest in Madison. Civic Media is proud to be a part of it and will broadcast the live one-on-one discussion with Nancy Pelosi. Hear what the first female Speaker of the House thinks about the state of politics and the presidential election, Monday, September 16th at 7:30 p.m. Live coverage of Nancy Pelosi from Idea Fest, Monday night, September 16th at 7:30 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday on Up North News Radio, weekend happenings along the Wisconsin campaign trail. And we'll talk about how the Packers did at their home opener at Lambeau Field.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Let me tell you about a strange thing that happened to me.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Friday, September 13th, 2024. Strange things indeed, like lilacs blooming in September. Welcome back to the show. A little bit of a potpourri show, a little bit of an eat the refrigerator show. You ever heard that term?
I have not, but it makes perfect sense. You know, you got all your leftovers, you got stuff that might be starting to get old, so just throw it all together, make a meatloaf or whatever, or maybe not mix it all up. But.
First time I heard it, I was in high school, I think, and one of my very best friends, Carrie Anderson, who is still a great friend, and I went out to her parents' farm, and her mom said, Lois, fantastic woman, still lives on the farm, by the way, and she said, all right, for lunch, we're going to eat the refrigerator. I thought, what does she mean? And she just meant we have all these different leftovers, right. And we're gonna have Jell-O from lunch yesterday. We have a couple pieces of chicken, and we have some, whatever it was. We're just gonna have it all. We're just gonna put it. So that's we have an eat the refrigerator type of show today. All these things, just we're just gonna take whatever's here, and just all these things we have to clean up before we get into the weekend and watch the Wisconsin Badgers hopefully defeat the Alabama Crimson Tide tomorrow at 11 o'clock. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Talking about, now I have seen it 2 weeks ago. Jeff Perry saw it today. A lilac in bloom in September. We asked, does anybody know what's going on? We have a couple of responses. Going to go to the phone lines first. Greg, in beautiful Genesee Depot. And if folks don't know where that is, it's just southwest of Waukesha, right, Greg?
Yes, yes.
Beautiful area of the state. So, Greg, help us out. Are you a horticulturist? Are you a botanist? Or just a person that knows plants?
No. I'm just a retired guy.
That's the best kind of person. What do you got for us, Greg?
Right. Well, anyway, what I assume what happened is that I lost every lilac here on our land here. There was a blight that went through, and I noticed it on other areas too, and it knocked all the leaves off the lilacs. And what they're doing, they're starting up again, and they think it's spring.
Wow. Really?
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Mine are all in bloom. Again.
Really? But they didn't bloom in the spring, or did they?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So you're getting a double bloom.
Yes, I'm getting a double bloom. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm glad to know it's not just Jeff and I, you know, that are bringing the battle.
No.
All right.
No, I have a whole line of lilacs, and they're all. I lost every leaf on them. They're rebudding now, and they're reblooming.
That's fascinating. Thanks, Greg, for sharing that. Really appreciate it. And thanks for the listenership. Appreciate you listening in down there in beautiful Genesee Depot. 855-752-4842. Dave, listening in Madison on WMDX, he sent us this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a question from a reader who said, I recently saw a picture on the news of lilacs purportedly in bloom this fall. Is it possible that a lilac can bloom this time of year? And I'm assuming it's probably the journalist went to a horticulturalist or somebody. Here's the answer from the Journal Sentinel. It says, yes, it is possible. We occasionally see spring flowering trees and shrubs display a flower or two after a stressful summer is followed by a milder winter. These plants set their flower buds in the summer before the normal spring bloom time. Unusual or stressful weather conditions can cause some of the flower buds to open in the fall. The plants will be fine, but we just have a few fewer blossoms in spring. One October, I came upon, what is that?
A calorie pear?
A calorie pear, all right, in full bloom. I returned to find the plant fully leafed out the following year from the Journal
Sentinel. That's consistent with what Greg said, that sometimes weird, strange things happen.
Especially as it turns out on Friday the 13th. What are your superstitions, if you have any? What do you think? Do you do anything different? Do you work from home? Do you not drive? I know some people do. Some people like take the day off. Right? Most hotels, if they're 13 stories or taller, they don't have a 13th. Technically, I mean, they do, but they call it, it goes from 12 to 14 in the elevator. Ever notice that?
Yeah, I've seen that before.
People don't want to stay or work on the 13th floor. I'd have no problem with it, but whatever. 855-752-4842. Also in this Clean the Refrigerator, so to speak, show, we've been talking a little bit earlier about senior facilities, county-owned facilities in Sauk County. County Board moving closer to privatize that, talking about this is something that a lot of people across the state are facing in communities because local municipalities, counties can't afford to take care of them, don't want to raise taxes, don't want to shift costs, and so they sell them out. On the phone line from Richland Center, listening on WRCE, Tom in Richland Center. Tom, you want to comment on that issue?
Yeah, thanks. I was on the county board in Richland in like 10 years ago, and we did a bunch of work on our version called Pine Valley Manor. And we got a presentation from the people from Sauk and said they were in high clover because they got a couple million dollars a year from hotel tax and the little part of the county that's in the Dells. Mm. We don't have anything like that. And they were going to do the nicest system. And turns out they built a wood frame structure with, you know, composite siding kind of thing. And we were able to build a masonry building. It's geothermal heat. We did a really nice job.
Yeah.
And it cost a lot of money, but then they wanted to save money. And part of the deal is they were trying to make our CNAs and janitors and all become privatized. And this company said they were going to save us $250,000 a year on our labor costs. And these people are already making $8 or $9 or $10 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. So I was on the committee that said, no, we don't want to do that at this point because you're going to mess over our workers. So that's the other issue, not the old folks, but also the workers there aren't getting enough money to begin with. But yeah. Sauk County had a ton of money to do theirs, so they're obviously doing something else with it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Tom. Really appreciate the call. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. We will invite people, as I said, on future shows on the program. Happy to have somebody from the county board in Sauk County come on and from the local community group as well. But Tom brings up a great point. In Richland County, they built a very nice facility. And yes, it was costly. But Tom brings up a great point. And whether it's from maintenance all the way up to CNAs or RNs, you know, people are people in the healthcare profession at all levels, in my opinion, are underpaid because they're the ones, the nurses, the RNs, the CNAs, the food workers, the maintenance folks, those are the people that we're entrusting with the people we care and love the most. Our parents, our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles. And I don't think you can put, you, in my opinion, well, I guess it's possible, but I was going to say, I don't think you could pay people too much to take care of a human life and treat them well, because you want, when people are taking care of humans, you want them to be in a good frame of mind. You want them to be happy. You want them to have vacation so that they're rested. You don't want them to make mistakes. And you want them to treat your loved one with dignity and a good attitude. And so often in our nursing home communities, our assisted living, our elderly care communities, our workers are overworked, overscheduled, and underpaid.
And it's... As you privatize these institutions, that only happens more because then they have to make money. So they have to have fewer people. They have to pay them less because otherwise this care is prohibitively expensive and no one can live there.
Yeah. And so I'm so glad that people called in today to raise this issue, because I think it is an under talked about issue. And we're going to spend more time on this in shows ahead. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Speaking of things that have been underreported, under talked about, we talked about the debate a little bit with Trygve Olsen yesterday, the Tuesday debate with Harris and Trump. There was a line in there, and David Muir, one of the moderators on Tuesday, asked it in the context, you know, Donald Trump has gone after Vice President Harris on her ethnicity or on her racial background, saying that she, quote unquote, turned black, whatever that means. It was a racial slur. And so Muir asked him about that and said, you know, can you explain what you meant? So the question was about race, but there was something in the middle that's gotten lost. Here's the clip from Tuesday.
I mean, all I can say is I read where she was not black, that she put out, and I'll say that. And then I read that she was black, and that's okay. Either one was okay with me. That's up to her.
So in the middle there, if you didn't catch that, that she was black, and then she put out. Quote, and then she put out. And he pauses because you could... I'm sure he sensed in the room that people are like, he did not just say that. And he pauses and he says, I'll say that. And then he goes on. It had nothing to do with the question asked by Muir. And I found it, when he said that in the debate, and then she put out, I'll say that, unquote. I literally looked up from the desk. I looked over at Terry Bell, our news director who was anchoring, and I said, holy cow. I might have said something other than cow. I never thought I would hear a former president talk that way to a sitting vice president, let alone a female vice president. And it's absolute misogyny. It's absolutely demeaning. And what it does, in my opinion, left unchecked, is it gives CEOs and owners of businesses and men in general license to look at women in that regard. How many times over history have we seen successful women? Business, broadcasting, sports, athletics, all levels of employment. And a woman works her way up by herself. And some idiot says, well, you know, she got there because she slept with so-and-so. And oftentimes the guy who says that has been sleeping with other people in the company and he's got a wife at home. But nobody says that about him. The fact, again, I point this out, number one, because I think that we should all, not just women, but I think we should all be outraged by that type of behavior. And I'm really tired of MAGA folks saying, well, you know, that's just something he says. That's just Trump being Trump. You know what? No, it's not. Barack Obama never said things like that. George W. Bush never said things like that. George H.W. Bush never said things like that. Ronald Reagan never said things like that. You simply cannot accept, if we are going to be a thoughtful society, a thoughtful voting public, we cannot accept to have a person in the White House sitting in the Oval Office who says things about women on a public stage. As a former or current president of the United States, it says they put out. It's deplorable. I'll say the word. It's despicable. And we as a society and a voting public need to recognize that. And as importantly, I pointed out, again, to show you a pattern of misogynistic remarks, of cutting down women, between Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. And if you think it's bad now, wait until they get back into the White House. Remember, Trump on Tuesday night would not say whether he or not he would veto a national abortion ban. Wouldn't say it. In Project 2025, they want to track women's periods. I've come for the Republican Party. I left it in 2011. It used to be a party that did not want government interference for the most part. There is nothing bigger in government interference right now than the MAGA party under Donald Trump. We'll come back. More on the other side. It's the Todd Oswald Show for a Friday, September 13th, 2024, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Get ready to rock the vote at the Oktoberfest Get Out the Vote Extravaganza Tour. Be there September 17th at the Cavalier Theater in La Crosse. Music by Scott Kirby and the Mayfield Express. Other partners include Progress North, Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, Citizens Action of Wisconsin, and Our Wisconsin Revolution. The goal of this tour and event is to inspire and motivate attendees to volunteer for Get Out the Vote efforts and support organizations that need additional help to maximize their capacity and impact. Come together, enjoy great music, and fuel the movement for change. You must register ahead of time at ManaquaBrewingCompany.com under Get Tickets. Come be part of the action. Get Out the Vote Extravaganza, presented by Minocqua Brewing, September 17th.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Oswald Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's now 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up next hour, return of a ongoing segment, What's Worse? We'll ask you the question, give you two things. What's worse, your chance to call in and voice your opinion. No prizes today, by the way, but your chance to have your voice heard across Wisconsin. Coming up on Monday, though, we're told there is a brand new text to win contest. Green and gold. It involves Packer tickets and actual gold. Now, here's what they did. Apparently now, there has been... I didn't know this about the dental industry. Apparently now, people are having their gold fillings removed and then... Oh, really? We can't say that. Well, that's fantastic. But they talk about... Zomers is telling me that the lawyers are here and I can't say the name of the NFL team in Green Bay when I'm talking about this promotion.
That is correct.
But I heard the promotion on I heard a recorded thing, and it said that the prize includes two tickets to blank. But I can't talk about it? Okay. Good to know. So there's going to be a prize package, a grand prize that includes two tickets to a major sports stadium in the greater Green Bay area where men put on helmets and shoulder pads. Is that okay? All right, very good. That passes. That. Okay, right, here's the point. We are legally not allowed to say the following when promoting this contest. Lambeau Field, Green Bay Packers, Packers, New Orleans Saints, or Saints.
Well, now you just said all of them.
I was just reading what you wrote. All right, well, then we can't talk about... I can say it, though, if I'm not talking about the promotion.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not talking about... Just disregard everything I said.
Just don't worry about it. It's fine.
I try and I try and I try, and this is the thanks I get. I thought, well, this would be great. I'll gin people up for Monday, and then it turns out, no, I can't. All right. Here's what's coming up in hour two for our show. There will be a What's Worse. And we will talk about Wisconsin Badger football team and Alabama. That'll be fun. Let me tell you one thing. This show today will not be on a best of. This will not be making the best of real numbers.
Well, you know, sometimes you just got to eat the rest of the leftovers.
That's right. You can't eat steak every night, everybody. Sometimes you got to eat the refrigerator, as Lois Anderson once reminded me. All right, let's try this. 855-752-4842. Let's go back to the phone lines. Kurt listening on WMDX in Madison. Kurt, help me out. Make this show better. You want to talk about nursing homes, a topic that we had earlier in the show. What do you got, Kurt?
Well, my mother passed away probably 4 years ago now. So, mm-hmm. And she was in a nursing home in Sheboygan. And it was a absolutely horrible place. You identified everything, underpaid staff, mm-hmm. understaffed, dirty. And I found some significant violations of the building. And I took pictures and video. And I went to find and go after the person that owned this facility. I don't remember his name. We have tons of documentation on him, though. He's bought up a lot of places in Milwaukee and outside of Milwaukee. And here's the root of the story here. After trying to go after him and to get things fixed, even, you know, safety violations and everything else, the way the laws are written in Wisconsin, this I got firsthand from an attorney telling me, is that they're heavily biased to these individuals. There's really nothing in place to stop them from getting away from what they get away with. And the only final piece of information I give to anybody that may have elderly parents and they're, you know, it maybe not have a lot of money and they don't have access to really nice facilities, it'll be worth every penny to find an attorney to go through who the facility and everything is, so they have a starting groundwork before their parents even step through the door. So
I think that's,
I would like to see.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, good.
The only other thing is I sent this all to Pocan, and he got back to me. He was very nice about it. And he agreed. He said, yes, this is really broken. And he too said, yeah, we're trying to do something, but right now, it's in the hands of these incredibly terrible people.
Mm-hmm. I can't thank you enough, Kurt, for sharing this personal story. And you're 100% right on this. And as someone who worked in state and federal government for a while, it is such a, you know, I had grandparents that went into nursing facilities. And for the most part, they were very nice and very good. But I'm not sure of your experience with this. One of the things that I found universally just, and again, there was one in particular that my grandmother was in that was very good. The other two, one in particular, I won't name it on the air, but the food was abhorrent. I mean, I'm talking about stuff that I wouldn't feed to my pet. Hot dogs that were like green and a little thing of sauerkraut and a piece of white bread. That's what they were feeding folks in a nursing home for a meal, Kurt.
I saw the same thing in my mother's facility. And I mean, I went to the mayor of Sheboygan. I went to safety people. And I mean, it's there are no mechanisms for
to
have the protections.
But to your point, why isn't our state legislature, why aren't they introducing bills in the state of Wisconsin that sent a benchmark for the quality and the type of food that they have to provide? I mean, I know they're technically like, because they say, well, you know, it has to be so many calories or this and that. But they're getting stuff out of cans. I mean, there should be some level of quality, in my opinion, of what nursing homes are allowed to feed senior citizens.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's inhumane.
It is inhumane.
It's a heads up for anybody. Even if you're really young, you know, and you come from a background, you know, eventually if your parents live, you know, beyond their 60s and something goes on with their health and you have no choice but to put them at home, mm-hmm. you know, find the facilities, do background search, see if they have any lawsuits standing against them, find a way to hire an attorney, get mm-hmm. the paperwork and documentation, because when you get to the point where you have no choice. It's the only place to put them, and you put them in there. Mm-hmm. You now have a foot in the door.
Kurt, I can't thank you enough. Great comments. Thank you very much, Kurt. We'll come back with hour two, talk a little football, talk what's worse, and your phone calls at the Todd Lowball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a Law Review, will join me in studio. Trump gets some charges dismissed, and Merrick Garland made a speech. We'll talk about
it. The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling. Oh, it's a gut feeling. Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.